This is WordPress Weekly, the show dedicated to all things WordPress. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Sarah Gooding.
Welcome to episode 131 of WordPress Weekly for Friday, December 13th, 2013. I'm joined by my co-host, Sarah Gooding. Sarah, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. Getting ready to attend about 15 Christmas parties.
Oh, yeah. No, any of those involve ugly sweaters?
Yes. One of those, and then a Fellowship of Oklahoma Ale Makers Christmas party tonight, which involves beer.
Nice, nice. I've been watching TV, and I see this commercial come on, this credit card commercial, where they, I don't know which one it is, but they talk about how they saved so much money they were able to put together this giant ugly sweater party. And then I was talking to you, and you were saying how you hold or participate in that ugly sweater party. So now I know it's a real thing. I thought it was just a joke.
Oh, yeah. It's taking the country by storm.
I guess. So a big week in the land of WordPress. Let's get you caught up on the headlines this week. In fact, yesterday, the touted big WordPress 3.8 was released out to the world. Its code name was Parker, named after Charlie Parker. And this release was baked in the oven for about 49 days. That's when 3.7 was released. And this release marks the second one that features where plugins started off as features first, that development practice we've talked about on the previous episode with Matt and in previous episodes before that. Big time upgrade. A lot of people, I've seen a lot of feedback on Twitter, on the support forums, regarding how nice the new back-end design looks. And I've also seen a number of people, of course, having issues with certain things in the back-end of WordPress. So let's kind of go down the list here of some of the new features in WordPress 3.8. And the first one is a new theme experience. And for those that like to browse different themes, or if you have a number of themes installed, now it's a much better experience because they've completely revamped the themes page. And the themes page now has larger thumbnails, making it easier to browse themes at a glance. And if you click on the theme details, a link displays a large screenshot of the theme as well as a detailed description on the right-hand side. So all in all, it's just a cleaner, leaner look. The next one is the widgets area chooser, which had the code name of the widget area chooser plugin. So what this means is before 3.8, the only way to put a widget into the sidebar is drag and drop, which if you had a lot of widgets or a lot of sidebars, then dragging them from the bottom of the screen, scrolling up to the top, it was just a nightmare for certain scenarios. Now with this method, you can just click on a widget, a little interface pops up that shows you the list of sidebars. You can click the one that you want the widget to be displayed in, click on the Add Widget button, and boom, it's that easy. This is in addition to the drag and drop. So some people are confused thinking they can't drag and drop anymore. That's not the case. You could still drag and drop widgets to where you want to display them in the sidebar, but you can also just click on them and quickly add them to the sidebar with this new interface. So there's two ways of doing it now. The next one, we have a refined dashboard with a number of widget improvements, which was formerly known as the Dash Project. And what this has done is, first of all, they've removed the incoming links widget because it's notoriously bad for not working. The WordPress blog, other WordPress news, and plugins widgets were combined to form a new WordPress news widget. And speaking of that, Sarah, we have a test site that we are hush-hush working on a new design for WP Tavern on. And I've read a number of reports. In fact, Marcus Couch asked me this question, a contributor to WP Tavern. I've also seen a number of reports where some people are only seeing news published from the WordPress.org development blog instead of all the different news sources like the other WordPress news and feature plugins. And on that test site I showed you, we actually saw that this is in fact occurring, that we've only seen that widget for some reason is only pulling down WordPress news from the development blog. So we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, I have no idea why that's happening. It might be because it's behind a maintenance plugin, but who knows?
Yeah, so we're going to get to the bottom of that. The Right Now widget has been renamed to At a Glance, and what this widget shows how many posts, pages, comments are on the main site, as well as the current version of WordPress that's installed. And just overall, I think the dashboard experience is much better. It's cool that they've really cut down on the number of plugins that show up on the dashboard. The biggest criticism and complaint I've seen, and it's a valid one, is that you can no longer, because it's responsive, the dashboard widgets now take up all of the available screen real estate within a certain width. So if you're using if your screen real estate, if you're using a widescreen monitor and it can support three or four columns, it's going to use three or four columns. You can't configure WordPress to say, I only want two columns so that the widgets in those columns are wider instead of being shrunken down to a little square. And I think this is a valid complaint, and there's already a ticket filed by Mark Jakewith to try and fix this so that widgets can be wider size in smaller area. That's something that's going to be worked on. And it's kind of an interesting question. I wonder if they're going to be able to restore the ability to select how many columns you want the dashboard to be for your widgets. And let's say you use two, even though you could support four, and still maintain the ability to be responsive.
Yeah, it'd probably be quite a challenge.
Hopefully they address that issue in 3.8.1. And one other thing about the dashboard widget is that the Quick Press has been renamed to Quick Draft, and this dashboard widget also houses the Recent Drafts widget. When I did the survey initially to see how many people used the dashboard widgets, QuickPress was almost nobody used it. And the biggest complaint and criticism was that, or one of them that I have, was that it didn't support categories. And QuickPress, I thought, was a quick and easy way to get into the post writing panel of WordPress without actually going there. In fact, that's totally not what the widget was for. It was just for jotting down ideas, maybe a post title, a little bit of notes to go along with the post, and you save it, and it would be added to a draft. Well, I think with the renaming of QuickPress to Quick Draft, it's very clear now what the purpose of that widget is, and I think a lot more people are going to start taking advantage of it, knowing that they can't use it to create a full-blown post, because that's what I think a lot of people tried to use it for and got upset with it.
Yeah, it's always been a little bit confusing. I don't think I've ever used it. But I'm also not sure, is it going to save a draft? Is it going to publish? I mean, what's happening to my notes? I'm sure other people look at that and they wonder exactly, you know, what was it was intended for.
Well, it better not publish stuff. It better just save it. I mean, and that's
it's a scary thing because I have that fear when I use the WordPress mobile app.
Yeah.
I just want to save a draft, but all there is that arrow button, and I'm like, is that a save button or is that publish?
Right. So the other big thing that happened to WordPress 3.8 was, of course, the backend redesign, which is formerly known as the MP6 plugin. And this sort of makes the typography in WordPress better. It's a lot more readable. Things have been increased in size a little bit. There's a darker color scheme, so it's not this 50 shades of gray anymore. And I've seen a lot of people take to the new design. They like it. One of the things I've seen a number of people do to enhance it immediately is to create menu separators, which is just adding a little bit of a line in between the different menus and such so that it makes it easier to discern where certain objects and menus are. So that's just a little improvement. And the WordPress 3.8 ships with 8 different color schemes, but if you don't like any of those, Sarah, you recently published a post, and I knew this was coming, that includes just an assortment of different color schemes, additional color schemes to use.
Yeah, they had this plugin out for a little while, I think, and a bunch of professional designers put together some schemes that they thought were cool. And they're really interesting. Some of them are inspired by nature, and there are a lot of different takes on some of the more fun ones, you know, that you didn't get into the default ones are there. So it's pretty cool.
Seaweed and ectoplasm. How about those for color scheme names?
Yeah, those are. I mean, I'm not a fan of those two, but I know a lot of people are.
I'm pretty happy with midnight so far. What's your favorite color scheme out of all the ones you've seen or tried?
I think probably the default one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, I tend to like midnight better than the red versus the blue, and it's a little bit darker too. So I don't know. I'm kind of a fan of midnight here. And for the first time ever, WordPress 3.8 or a version of WordPress, a default theme will be available for an entire year versus, let's say, 2014 being released in the middle of 2014. People will actually have a full year to use the new default theme. And you know, we've talked about this theme before, but it's set up to be a magazine-type theme. It has up to 6 featured content blocks. Everything is aligned to the left. There's a left-hand menu. It needs, in my opinion, gigantic images to use as featured images to really make the theme shine. It's a little bit of a departure from, let's say, 2011, 2012, where those were more like blogging themes, and you could easily alter the look and feel of them. With 2014, I think it's more of a strict environment where if you don't stay within the confines of what 2014 offers, I think it's very easy to make 2014 look bad. And I've already seen a couple of examples of this on the web. So the question is, I'm curious to see if, whether it be child themes or modifications of the existing theme, how creative people will get with altering 2014. I think there are a number of things I don't like about it. There's a number of things I do like about it, but I want to see what other people can do and what they recreate with 2014. So hopefully we can cover those enhancements or alterations within the next few weeks of 3.8's release. Speaking of 2014, Sarah, I know you and I, we were actually working on it, and we thought it would be a great addition for a great base for the redesign of WP Tavern. But the more we worked with it, the more we found out that it's just to mold the type of content WP Tavern produces with our images and such, that it just wouldn't work with 2014.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good fit for us. I think it's a very specific use case, and if you can make it work and you have the right kind of images to make it pop, then that's great. But I don't know that it would work out for us.
Yeah, so the last big addition to 3.8 is now that the admin, the back end of WordPress, is responsive. So this is important because WordPress mobile apps for iOS, especially the iPhone, doesn't contain all of the settings and menus that you would see if you actually logged into the back end of WordPress. So sometimes you'd have to log into the back end of WordPress from the mobile apps to, let's say, change a category or do something that goes beyond the scope of what the mobile app provides. And before 3.8, it was kind of a nightmarish experience because the menus were not responsive. It was slow. It was a terrible experience. Well, now things are faster. Menus collapse. It's a lot easier to browse. We talked about this last week with Matt, and he believes that this is a great first step for making the back end of WordPress responsive, but he believes that they could do more to improve in this area. So expect to see enhancements to the responsiveness of the back end of WordPress in future versions of WordPress. So all in all, put that all together, I think that WordPress 3.8 is the best release so far, just based on the number of improvements, and it's nice to see that the features as plugins first really helped to make WordPress 3.8 one of the best releases so far. So I wonder if they can somehow keep up the momentum, and I wonder if 3.9 will be equally as awesome as, let's say, 3.8. Only time will tell. But with all those features said, Sarah, what is your favorite feature in 3.8?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think it's probably the new admin design. It just changes your everyday life in such a big way if you work with WordPress.
Yeah, and I've already seen, I was helping out in the support forum yesterday after the release, and I actually, yay me, I helped resolve a couple of issues in the forums. Usually I can't do that because a lot of the stuff goes above and beyond what I know. And a number of people were asking, how do I revert? How do I go back to the old admin design? And I'm typing, I'm sorry, but you're stuck. You know, there is no way to revert back to the old admin design. And for good reason, because it's just not as responsive, it's not as readable. I don't know why you would want to go back to the old design. But I imagine, in fact, it's it's not being worked on right now, it will be soon, but I can imagine a plugin being created where users will be able to kind of create their own custom admin color scheme design. So let's say, you know, when you're picking these color schemes in WordPress, you've got a certain number of colors, and those colors all represent certain links or parts of WordPress. So let's say those are made up of maybe four or five primary colors. I don't know. I haven't checked yet. But I could see a plugin being created where you tell the plugin five colors that you want to use that are for different parts of WordPress, and there you go. You can have your own user-defined custom color scheme for WordPress. If it's not there now, I bet you it's going to be made available soon.
Yeah, I think some people are working on something just like that. People keep dropping hints here and there on Twitter, and I think somebody's got that in the works.
And if they do, and we find out about it, we'll let you know.
Absolutely.
Because that's our job. So earlier this week, you wrote about something that's really cool. Well, some documentation can be boring to some, but I think this documentation or issue tracker for WordPress documentation, I thought it was really cool, and I really liked the design of it. And you wrote about this earlier this week, so kind of give us insight into what this is and what this means for future documentation efforts for WordPress.
Okay. The documentation issues tracker is currently being built by Otto. It's in development right now, so they finalized the designs. And it's basically, for documentation issues, the same thing that track is to code. So people who spot something in the documentation that is off, maybe a broken link or some poor spelling or a piece of just a couple paragraphs that need editing, they can put that into the tracker, report it as an issue, and they'll all be listed there in a central place for people to jump in and help out on improving documentation. And I think it's a really cool thing because if you ever have tried to contribute to documentation, it's really tough to know where it needs it or, you know, where you can jump in and help unless you know the people who are organizing it or, you know, unless you've gone through the codex a million times and you already know what's missing. It's really tough to find where you can put your skills to good use. So this is going to be a really awesome tool for the WordPress community to use to collaborate more on documentation.
Yeah, I really like the design of it. It's just simple. It's nice. You can see on the status column, which is open, which is closed. And like I said, I think a lot of people who are tied into typos, grammar, maybe coming up with better ways of explaining things, are really going to like having this issue tracker where everything is in this one location instead of maybe on a P2 site.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's going to be awesome.
So any word on when we might see this go live?
You know, they don't usually give us dates like that, even though we ask them. But it's in development right now. There's nothing anything we can do to speed it along. Probably after the holidays, I'm guessing.
And I see that Otto is leading the way in redesigning or coming up with the design of building the issue tracker. So with him behind the scenes working on it, I'm sure it won't be long and it'll be rock solid. Earlier this week, Jetpack 2.7 was released. This version introduced Google Plus for Publicize, and it also added CloudUp O embeds. You wrote about this earlier this week. I see a lot of people were excited about this Google Plus Publicize for profiles and pages.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we tried it out on the Tavern. We created our own Google Plus page since we didn't have one yet, and then we hooked it up just to test out the Publicize, and it works great. So there were a few things while hooking it up that I think people should know. It creates an app for WordPress with Google. So once you have it hooked up, it's going to just automatically publish all your posts as private. So you'll want to go ahead and tweak the privacy settings of that app over on G+ if you're hooking this up. Or else you may think you're publishing, but nobody can see it.
Yeah, and that's one thing we ran into where you publish this post, and next thing you know, it's private, so nobody was actually able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of goes against why we're, you know, pushing things to Google+.
Yeah.
And we don't – do you know the link offhand to the Tavern Google+ page?
It's got about 15 numbers in it.
Oh, yeah. So
the link is in the post, but or you can search WP Tavern on Google+ and find us. But, yeah, we don't have a customized link yet. I don't know if we have to get a certain number of followers before we can get a better link, but for now it's like a million numbers in a URL.
What's this CloudUp OEmbed support?
The OEmbed support for CloudUp is really cool. It lets you just paste in a link like you would a YouTube video on its own line so that it puts the file in there automatically. It displays it to you. I think it would be cool, though, if they had some configurations with a short code so that you can change the size of how it's displayed. But for now, you just, if you're a CloudUp user, you just paste a link for one of your files into your WordPress post or page, and then it will automatically insert that file in there without you having to download it and then upload it back up again.
And for those who don't know, what is CloudUp? I know Automattic acquired them. I think it's a file sharing company.
Mm-hmm. It's a very fast way to share files. You can just kind of drop them into your account, and it's super fast. I mean, the technology behind it is pretty amazing, and a lot of people are excited about it.
Yeah, it's currently in beta. I went to CloudUp to register an account, and I don't have an access code. So, boy, that kind of reminds me of, you know, the Web 2.0 bubble back in 2006, 2007, where I needed invite codes. I had to go on eBay to get one.
Can get one. Maybe this proves that you don't read my posts, Jeff, because I had a link in there for people to go ahead and sign up to CloudUp.
I'm signing up right now as we're doing the show.
Happy Friday.
All right, so those of you who want a invite to CloudUp, you should read Sarah Gooding's post on Jetpack 2.7, and we'll also link that up in the show notes. I'm going to sign up to CloudUp as soon as we get off the air. Let's see, the last thing we want to talk about this week before we bring on our special guest, something I find to be very impressive, Envato, which runs a number of marketplaces, such as ThemeForest, Code Canyon, eLancer, or MicroLancer. Their CEO, Kallis, published a wrap-up of the accomplishments during 2013. And inside this wrap-up post were a number of big numbers surrounding some of their statistics. Some of their impressive stats for 2013 include their community of authors, affiliates, freelancers, and instructors took their lifetime earnings with Envato past $140 million, that's million, dollars. I mean, that is a lot of money. That's not just in 2013, that's just not in 1 year, but that's all time, that's lifetime for all those people. I mean, that's a lot of money to go through the Envato marketplaces. I think that's really impressive. There are over 720 hours of educational video content and 16,000 free tutorials and articles available throughout their websites. The company sponsored a number of community events such as WordCamps, as well as open source projects like Ghost. And Envato continued to give to charitable organizations with a total lifetime contribution of over $500,000. So that's great to see that they're just really being one with the community and taking some of their success and handing that back as a charitable donation to a number of different organizations out there. And also in the post, Kallis kind of reflects on the previous 7 years. Envato's been around for 7 years now, and he talks about how the first sort of few years of the company were about creating products, and then the second phase of the product was building the business. And now they're talking about how the third phase of the Envato project revolves around community building. And Envato and their marketplaces have been very successful because they've been able to breed this really great community of people that are loyal to Envato. They work with them hand in hand. A great example that I pointed out in the post was when Envato changed the licensing agreements on, let's say, ThemeForest as they relate to the GPL. And instead of just outright making a change, they actually consulted with their community and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. What do you think? They solicited feedback. Everybody had a chance to voice their opinions. And I think that's great for a community, even though, you know, the community is not always going to agree with the decisions that Kallis and others make in Envato. It's nice to see that they at least have a method of voicing their opinions for which direction the ship travels when it comes to Envato. So I want to congratulate Kylas, everybody involved with Envato, for being around for 7 years. I think they'll be around for seven more. And, you know, I think that as, you know, Kylas is acting ship captain for Envato, he's going to be continued to be faced with challenges of making decisions that the communities disagree with. And I think it's at these moments where Envato can see what type of community they really have surrounding them. Where they stand by the company or where they line up outside with pitchforks, because community can be a fickle thing. They can be the thing that helps you propel your business, but if you make some bad choices, they could turn against you in a heartbeat. Next thing you know, you have an angry mob ready to take you down and the company with it. So I don't think that will happen with Envato, but as long as they continue to maintain their course, I think it'll be nothing but good things for them in the future. So with that said, I think it's time to bring on our special guest, who was supposed to be Scott Baskard of Woo Themes, and he also helped coordinate WordSess 2, but he was unable to make it today, so I opted for a better guest. His name is Chris Cochran. He is one of the co-organizers of the WordSess event. He is a true design engineer in his core, and he's the guy that picks out typefaces in the real world. He has taken college courses in illustration and graphic design and has a minor in psychology, which may come in handy on this episode. Chris believes that design is tactile. In fact, he still starts his designs with paper and pencil. Chris, thank you very much for substituting for Scott. I think we got the better end of the deal on this one.
Well, thank you for having me. And I mean, Scott's great as well. But thank you.
Yeah, Scott knows I'm just messing around. So it's interesting. I was reading your bio here where it says you can pick out typefaces in the real world.
Oh, yeah.
No, the one typeface I see used everywhere, it's on billboards, it's on cheesy TV ads, it's on everywhere. It's this font called Ethnocentric. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's got wide letters that kind of have a futuristic look. I can't believe how many design agencies and how many different people in the real world are actually using that font. It's terrible.
I think what ends up happening is people just kind of see what someone else is doing and they follow suit. It may be good, it may be bad, but it becomes almost like a norm.
It's also crazy for me to look at the TV and say, I know what font that is. I think that's a bit weird, maybe nerdy or geeky, I don't know. Usually, I don't know what font's being used. So you are one of the co-organizers of the WordSess event. Kind of tell us who you are and give us a little bit of background about how you got involved with WordPress.
Definitely. So I'm Chris Cochran. I've been involved with WordPress for maybe 5 years now. While I was going to college, I was actually going to college for illustration, design, and branding. And my girlfriend at the time actually sent me a link to a Craigslist posting by Web Dev Studios. And I accepted, and it wasn't for a full-time job or anything, it was just as a intern, and I started working at them, and shortly after that and the internship ended, I started working with Web Dev Studios for about 4 to 5 years. So I've been working with WordPress for a while, and then after that I actually joined 10Up 2 additionally for a little while as well. So I've been around in the WordPress agencies, and I've definitely worked on tons of websites.
Yeah, my first introduction to you was WordCamp New York City way back in, I don't know, 2009 or something. I remember you had fluffy hair. You were that crazy funny guy. Yeah, that's how I remember you. And boy, it's been a long time ago. I remember we went to Newark and took the train all the way from Newark all the way up to WordCamp New York City and just had a great time
that event. You guys did. I was too young at the time to really continue on with any of the after-party festivities, but yeah.
I remember that. Oh, that's boy, that had to suck.
Yeah, it was interesting, and the hotel we had, too, was just a very strange one, but it had no cell service, so I was kind of just stuck with my pen and pad just doodling while everyone else was having fun. It was terrible.
So you work with you being, I'm gonna guess you're obviously under 21, but being very young and working with WordPress. What are some of the early projects and things you worked on with Web Dev Studios?
I worked on tons of projects. We had a job with Time working on their Healthland redesign. That was definitely a fun project. And another one was with HP Labs, where we actually worked on a Facebook application, which is really cool. It kind of like took people's faces and created photo books. And probably a lot of people, too, know now we're Web Dev Studios for a lot of their app-like type applications they're pushing with WordPress. So we've been doing, they've been doing it for a while over there, because when I first started, we were doing Facebook applications and stuff with WordPress powering them.
So. Yeah, in fact, you're speaking of applications and using WordPress to build apps. The Web Dev Studios just released something called AppPressor, which is supposed to make it very easy to build native iOS and Android applications using WordPress. What are your thoughts on that? Have you had a chance to take a look at it yet?
I got the invite to the beta. I peeked at it. I think it's really interesting, and I listened also to Scott. Scott gave a great talk on WordSesh about it, but one of the great points he made is he really does not want people just taking any old content website and, you know, using AppPressor to push, you know, what you could basically do on the web. So I really hope they continue to push that idea that this is really for, you know, more involved type apps that really utilize the power of it actually being a native app and not just as another mean to get your site in another listing source, basically.
Yeah, because if you end up with websites just using AppPressor to as another form of getting your content out there on mobile devices, then, you know, the whole idea, the whole concept of making apps for websites just becomes boring. You know, I want to see, like, e-commerce websites or just these creative, crazy ways of using the AppPressor to build apps on their phones to interact with websites instead of, you know, just another way to consuming content.
Yeah, and I think with one of their first add-ons they put out for the WooCommerce with the uploading photos, I think they're really trying to push, like, hey, you know, this isn't just for content. We can really utilize a lot of these functions of the phone. So I'm really excited to see where it's heading. As long, you know, as you keep working on it, adding all these extra add-ons and utilizing more of the features of the actual phone. I think it's something to watch for sure.
So with your work involved with WordPress, I mean, do you see it as a just a blog platform, a CMS platform, an app platform, or just all of the above?
All of the above. I really think, depending on your project and your needs, you could really push WordPress for whatever. But also, you know, you got to think that there's always the right tool for the right project. You can have WordPress do everything, but, you know, sometimes do you want it to do everything too? But as long as it fits with the database, and I think, again, another example from Web Dev Studios, they worked on something called Credly Badge OS, and what that actually focuses around still, even though it's an app, it's basically focused around content still. So I think WordPress powering app-like content apps, definitely, because it's a great publisher.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to use you don't want to use WordPress for something that maybe some other piece of software would be better suited for it. You just have to really kind of remold WordPress in that, instead of using something that out of the box works just fine for what you need to accomplish.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about WordSesh. It's a sort of like a virtual WordCamp. You know, a number of years ago, I don't know if you remember, I published this post on WPTavern.com, and this was kind of in the infancy of when WordCamp events were happening, and somebody had got together and proposed the idea of creating, it was actually called Virtual WordCamp, where they would put sessions together, speakers, things of that nature, and then they charged like $95 to watch everything online. And I wrote about this, and I said, you know, how is it that you could create a virtual WordCamp and charge an amount that's more expensive than if you were to have it in a physical location? It made no sense to me. There was some outrage there. I think Matt Mulloway actually got involved and got in touch with the people putting on virtual WordCamp. Long story short, virtual WordCamp never happened. And shortly thereafter, there was talk about WordCamp being trademarked so that things like this could be protected and what WordCamp's about could be preserved. That was virtual WordCamp, but now we have WordSesh 2, which is free, open to anyone, anywhere in the world, filled with different speakers, sessions of that nature. And I know you are one of the co-organizers of the WordSesh event. Tell us about how you got involved in lessons learned from the first WordStash that you applied to WordStash 2?
Definitely. Well, my involvement, mostly the WordStash is basically Scott Baffengard, who was supposed to be on the show, Brainchild. One late night, he kind of just messaged me and was like, hey, I have this awesome idea. And Scott actually does this to me many times, and we actually have some other awesome ideas baking in the oven, but this is about WordStash. So he comes to me, he's like, I have this awesome idea, 24 hours, WordPress, online. And I just sat there like, okay, you're crazy. But, you know, now looking, it's only been a year since, you know, not even. The last WordStash, I think, was back in April. So now we have the second one basically 6 months after. And, you know, I think it's a pretty huge success. We reached, with WordStash 2, we reached over 85 countries. We had 58 speakers, 43 sessions. We grew to two tracks, where last year we were only a single track. And we had over 3,000 plus unique visitors.
Wow. So, that's impressive stats.
Yeah. It's definitely been interesting, and we just hope we keep on growing. And the beauty of it is, because it is online, we're using, you know, Google Hangouts. We don't have to charge, because the only really overhead that we've ran into is basically having to stay up for the 24 hours to make sure everything runs smoothly. So we get a little delirious, but we have fun doing it. Just making
Tell us about the process of is there people that stay up all 20, I mean, did you and Scott both stay up 24 hours to make sure that you got in touch with guests? Or I know there are multiple organizers of this event, but kind of tell us about the logistics.
So yeah, the very first one, me and Scott, we stayed up for the whole 24 hours. And with Scott being in Norway, he's already 6 hours ahead of me. So by the time WordStash began, he was already up, I think, for 24 hours.
Wow.
But we had help from Brad that year. So basically we call ourselves producers, where we kind of log into Google Hangouts and then send out the invite to the speakers. And then we invite them about 15 minutes before they go live, make sure that, you know, screen sharing is working, anything they want to do, set up multiple computers and stream, things like that, we're working properly. And then we basically set them live and just sit and wait until the 45 minutes and then do again with the next speaker. This year, being two tracks, we also ushered in the help from Dre Armada from Dradcast and then also Maria from Woo Themes. So we had five people this year helping out, which helped and allowed Scott to get some sleep. I took some naps in between some sessions as well.
15-minute naps.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, so the way it was set up is that each session was 45 minutes long, and then there's a 15-minute time period where you could close down the Google session, because I noticed that you had two chat rooms going, you know, for room A, for room B, I think, through talk.tlk.io, which is a chat service. So those, it was the chat room for each room, and then you could have a session going on for 45 minutes, and then you would have to stop talking about whatever you were talking about in the chat room because the next session was on, and that's what you wanted to talk about. So yeah. It's pretty crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, with the 15 minutes in between, kind of once we try to allow the speakers to have some Q&A time on video, but if they run over, of course, they can continue to the chat for like 15 minutes until we start up the next one. So it was definitely helpful with the little 15-minute break.
So this year's event, actually participating in the Podcasters Roundtable, where there was about six or seven of us, and just talking about podcasting, WordPress, and right when we're starting to get into our groove, it's over, 45 minutes, it's gone. I mean, when you're participating in these events and you start getting into these in-depth discussions, 45 minutes is nothing.
Yeah, I agree, especially with the roundtable type talks. It does go a lot quicker. I feel like 45 minutes, though, for the single talks. Like, I spoke as well on a mobile and responsive workflow, and 45 minutes was just about the right amount of time for me to pitch my idea. But for these roundtable type event ones, yeah, I feel like 45 minutes is too long. But we're going to be sending out a report to everyone who participated,
like a survey.
To get some feedback and see what worked, what didn't work.
So the cool thing about this year is you had Matt Mullowag actually participate during the WordStash event, and thanks to him, he broke the site. Kind of explain to us what happened there. Was it just too many people? Was it like a DOS attack or something?
It was just too many people. The mad effect, basically. So after that happened, as it was going on, you know, we were in the back setting up caching, doing a couple of things to kind of help alleviate some of this. But yeah, Matt came, broke our site. But it was great, too, because the site was down, but people found the live streaming URL for YouTube and were sharing that on Twitter. So even though the WordSesh site wasn't live, we still had YouTube back it up, and the community, you know, was pretty well receiving on the whole thing. And, you know, I'm sure they expected it, too, the Matt effect, you know. So.
It was an interesting lesson in showing that it's nice that you don't have everything tied into the WordSesh site, mm-hmm. And that it could work even if the site went down, since you're using Google Hangout, and that's on the Google side of things, the video streaming, and then whenever the site would come back, you could just tune in wherever the stream was, or just wait until it's done and recorded, you can see the whole thing, you know, uninterrupted.
Yeah, and that's the other beauty, is everything is recorded, and immediately, maybe 2 minutes after the talk, it's pushed right to YouTube for anyone to go and view and catch up. So
did you guys decide on two tracks just based on the immediate outpouring of the number of people who wanted to participate in the event, or was this an idea that you had before actually setting things up for WordSesh 2?
So the idea did come up early on. Scott was just talking about, like, let's go bigger, better type thing.
48 hours.
Yeah. Actually, we were thinking about 48 hours first, then we were thinking about two tracks.
That is nuts, man. We said 24 hours is nuts, so I don't know, maybe 48 would be perfect, but I mean, wow, 48 hours?
Yeah. I know, me and Scott, we would be completely delirious. The first one, we had an open Google Hangout that was kind of on the side, and a couple of people were allowed to come in. And me and Scott, at one point, we just were having giggle fits, and we would basically shut off the video for a little while so we could, like, collect ourselves. But the second we turned it back on, we would go right at it, and everyone just coming in to watch us basically cry and laugh out of our delirious.
So it looks like the two-track system worked out rather well this year.
Yeah, it was great. We kind of actually decided just a little last minute on the last two tracks. It was mostly just because the response for speakers was awesome. I think with a event like WordSesh, where there is a little commitment, where you don't have to go out, find a hotel or travel to, more and more people are willing to speak because, I mean, you can literally do your presentation right from your living room, you know, anywhere, really, if you wanted to. So that was great. And then last minute, we decided to put the two tracks. We had a couple of openings, and we just posted a link to Twitter, and we filled up those sessions literally within an hour or two.
Wow. You know what that means? You know what that means? WordSesh 3, which I heard is going to be in just 6 months. Can you confirm that?
That's what we're looking into right now. That's what we basically said on the closing notes. So we're still looking at possible dates, but we're definitely looking at that around 6 months time.
But man, for WordSesh 3, I think you'll be able to. WordSesh 2 has proven it's gotten bigger, it's better. You guys actually received a heck of a lot more press this time around for WordSesh 2 than I think for WordSesh 1, because WordSesh 1 was just an idea at the time. It turned out to be really cool, but everybody was really looking forward to WordSesh 2. I think you guys got a lot of press, and it helped build the success and audience for this time around.
Yeah, I agree. WordSesh 1, when Scott came up with it, and we kind of just pitched the idea, like, no one really knew, first of all, if it would work, if people would even come and watch. But after the first one, and, you know, with the great community that we do have and all the great speakers, I mean, we produce some awesome content. And I really think the content that we're able to produce, and people are now seeing this and wanting to be involved to kind of just be a part of it as well, it's definitely going to keep growing.
Have you and Scott talked about, have you guys even contemplated the thought of any type of monetization strategy, ads, sponsorships, anything that like a normal WordCamp would go, or has that not even come into the equation yet?
Scott just wants to keep it free because it is such low overhead, and we're really just doing this for the community. And the speakers and the community basically run it. All we do is just make sure that we get the speakers and they're there to present the content to them. So I see it forever being a free event.
That's awesome. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. We're giving back to WordPress and the WordPress community, and that's what we see it as. So,
yeah. So I look at WordSesh as an example of, you know, I wish I could see a WordSesh event for Joomla or Drupal. I hope somebody in those communities somehow comes across what WordSesh did for WordPress and says, you know, this would be kind of cool to do with Joomla. All we need is somebody to organize the event and do logistics, use Google Hangouts, set up a website, set up a chat room, and just get a bunch of Joomla experts or community people to do sessions online for free. I think what WordSesh shows, it's an example of bringing the community together. You can learn knowledge from all sorts of great minds that are within the WordPress community to the benefit of all. And I just, man, it'd be really cool to see a WordSesh for Drupal or Joomla. I hope somebody out there takes notes and does it.
Oh, I agree completely. Yeah, I mean, the beauty of WordSesh with it being online too is, I mean, if you look through the speaker list that we had, the amount of knowledge and all different types of like expertise that we had on one single event was just amazing. And for other people to follow suit, you know, in the different communities or even in the WordPress community, I know we were talking about even kind of open source, like the inner workings of WordSesh a little bit, and even possibly like release the theme that we use for others to go and, you know, kind of do their own event as well. Already we've seen something like WP Sessions, which is a paid event, but, you know, the idea stemmed from WordSesh. And then Eric Mann was just, you know, inspired by actually the session that you were in with the podcasting, and he's looking to do his own podcasting event as well. Well, just personal podcast, but yeah.
Sarah, I think Sarah has a question or two that she'd like to ask you if she can come on the air here. I took a little bit of a blasting last week for hogging our guest, Matt, so I want to give her an opportunity this time around to ask you a couple questions.
Yeah, I saw some feedback about the event that maybe there could be some more beginner tracks or like a, you know, beginner topics mixed in with some of the other topics. Do you think that's a possibility for a WordSesh next year, or is it going to remain sort of dev-centric?
I think we definitely see the possibility there for the beginners, and we definitely have heard people talk about that. We're going to definitely send out the survey, too, and just kind of see what the response is. But for the next one, we'll definitely try and see what we can do, because it is a great event. Or maybe we even spin up another event, like, just for beginners or something like that. But I feel even, too, some of the talks that we did have, though some were advanced, some were also more just, like, the ideology behind some things. If that's a word, I probably just made it up. But, you know, where anyone can kind of take something from it. Like Jake gave the one talk and kind of stemmed tons of discussions online that probably will further many more blog posts, too, about being the horse and not the unicorn. So the beauty is it's not just technical talks. There was also some talks like that, which kind of make you look at yourself and say, like, hey, you know, what am I doing? And then there was business talks as well, and just a good mix. But
right.
Beginners is definitely something we will look into, I think.
Cool.
Have you thought of maybe just making a beginner's track? I mean, maybe stemming, like in a typical WordCamp where you'd have maybe a dev track, beginner's track, whatever track. I mean, do you think, has it gotten that far, or do you kind of like having different topics and different levels all mixed in within just one track?
You know, this was the first year. I mean, it's only our second event, too, so where we kind of did the two tracks, so that was definitely a learning experience. So we definitely kind of just got to see and kind of talk, like, see how people receive the two tracks. I know a lot of people loved it, but then there's also some people who were like, you know, there's no two of me. It's too hard to focus on two tracks. But it's like, you know, everything's recorded as well. So, you know, if you miss something, you can catch it up later. So. But
yeah, that was pretty hardcore to see people on Twitter with two browser windows open, one for room A and one for room B, and they were doing, I don't know how you could listen to two tracks at the same time.
Oh, it was pretty great. I was doing that myself a few times, and I was like producing, you know, one guy listening in on his thing and then checking out on another one, following the chat, and then, you know, making sure the cache is working properly. So some people definitely got their multitasking brain muscles flexing for the WordSesh too.
Now, you said, I think all of the videos for WordSesh 2 are now open, available for public. We'll link to those in the show notes, but is that on the WordSesh 2 YouTube channel?
So on the WordSesh 2 YouTube channel, we just have a playlist that basically kind of rounds them all up. because we did do the two tracks, Google and the way they work, we couldn't really push it to one account. So there's now three kind of WordSesh accounts out there that kind of hold the videos. But on the main WordSesh, you will find a playlist with all the videos.
And just out of curiosity, have you guys thought about transferring the recorded YouTube videos and just maybe sending them over to WordPress.tv, or is there going...
We've actually already started that.
Okay, very cool.
So most of WordSesh 1 videos you can find on WordPress TV, and we actually even just started a iTunes, basically podcasting account, where only one video is on there now, but we're definitely, over the coming weeks, you'll see more and more of the sessions be published there, so you can listen while you're driving in the car.
That's awesome. I love that. Yeah, and then having them on WordPress.tv is kind of like a backup for you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the biggest thing is we just want to get this knowledge out to as many people as possible. So we have Google, we have the WordSesh, we have, you know, now iTunes, and we're definitely pushed to wherever we know that there's minds to consume knowledge, basically.
Yeah, and I didn't get the chance to see it, but I heard that the fireside chat with Triple J involved an actual fire, doesn't surprise me in his home.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, I love just listening to Triple J talk. But yeah, last year I think someone mentioned like, oh, I was like sitting next to him next to a fire. And
I picture this tall guy with his glasses sitting next to a fire in his big comfy chair, and he's drinking a cup of hot cocoa, and he says, let's talk about the BBs. Yeah,
that is exactly it. Not even exaggerating. It was great, though, because, I mean, Triple J has been through so much with the community, and is just listening to his experience. He talked about, you know, working at Automatic, now working at 10UP, and just, you know, his visions for the BBs and everything. It's a really great talk to kind of just listen to.
Well, Chris, I think WordSesh 2 was a fantastic event. I'm going to have to carve out some time to watch a lot of the videos I didn't have a chance to see yet. All the best. Sarah, do you have any other questions for Chris before we let him go?
No, I don't think so. Thanks for joining us, Chris.
Thank you for having me. It was great. I definitely loved it.
And I look forward to WordSesh 3, which we're going to be looking forward to in about 6 months. And when you get word on when it's happening, just ping us at WB Tavern so we can let the world know about WordSesh. I think the third event is going to be awesome, just like the previous two.
Definitely, yeah. And I mean, Scott just leading behind it as well. I mean, it is his baby, so I just have to give another shout out to Scott and this wonderful idea he basically brought to the WordPress community. So, thanks, Scott.
So, Chris, where can we find you at and keep in touch with you? Because you're just out and about and doing all kinds of things these days.
The best place to find me is just on Twitter at TweetsFromChris. And, I don't know, at WordCamps. I love attending.
So, thanks a lot, Chris, for coming on the show. All the best to you with WordSesh 3. And let's see, next week, next Friday, December 20th, which is a day before my 30th birthday. Geez, I'm going to have a midlife crisis on air on the show, so tune in live for that. On December 20th, Chris Lima will be our guest, so that will be a fantastic show. That man's just full of knowledge, and I'm hoping he'll spill it all out for us on the show. So that's going to be next Friday, December 20th, Chris Lima will be on the show. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on wptavern.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, that's JeffrO. And you can follow Sarah on Twitter at
Polly Plummer, PollyPlummer.
And until next week, everybody, have a safe weekend, everyone.